Nancy Lee DeMoss has a question for you.
Do differences between men and women really matter? We're living in a world that generally says no, that men and women are virtually identical, apart from those obvious physiological differences. But as we're going to see, God has a very different perspective. And when it comes down to it, it's what He thinks that really matters. In fact, since He's the one who made us, He's also the one who best knows what those differences are and why He made us different in the first place.
Nancy's co-written a new small group study that explores those differences. It's called True Woman 101, Divine Design.
Now, if we were to try to summarize this whole study in one sentence, here's what I think it might be. Manhood and womanhood exist to glorify God and to put the gospel of Jesus Christ on display. That means gender really does matter.
Nancy wrote True Woman 101 with co-author Mary Cassian. She's excited about this new project.
Because your womanhood is not a biological accident. It's not a matter of chance. God was intentional when He made you a woman, and He wants you to discover, embrace, and delight in the beauty of His spectacular design.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, March 2nd. Ever since the first True Woman Conference 4 years ago, women have been asking Revive Our Hearts, how do we spread this message in our churches and small groups? So Nancy Lee DeMoss and Mary Cassian have written a study called True Woman 101, Divine Design. It's an 8-week Bible study that's perfect for small groups. The study will help you recognize God's unique purpose for you as a woman. Mary and Nancy invited a panel of women to get together and talk about the concepts in True Woman 101. They discussed practical ways to display true womanhood in day-to-day life. They called this series of conversations True Woman Table Talk. You can get parts of that conversation on DVD to play for your small group. Just visit reviveourhearts.com for the details. And we're going to hear some of that discussion today. Here are Nancy and Mary to introduce their Table Talk guests.
Now, a number of our friends are going to be joining us for these True Woman Table Talk discussions.
Girlfriend time.
Yay. Yeah.
Let me introduce you to the three guests who are with us today. On Mary's left is Erin Davis. Erin is a wife, a mom of two little ones. We have women in different seasons of life. I love that.
Thing.
Mary, you have young adult sons. And Erin, you have little ones.
Very little, yes.
And you're our... I don't want to say token because that sounds like it's not important, but we needed a younger woman.
I'll take it if you're going to tell them I'm young. You can tell me I'm the token.
And enjoy
young
it while you have it because, you know,
it
doesn't last at all. You have such a heart for teenagers, mm-hmm. for young women. You're passionate mm-hmm. about that, and you've helped us be passionate about it too.
Oh, good. Yep.
So, Erin Davis, and then in the middle, Holly Eliff. Holly and I go back a long ways, longtime friends, sisters, and you have 8 children.
I do.
6 grandchildren. And then to my right is Dana Gresh. And Dana, you have teenagers and young adult children mm-hmm. kind of in that age range.
Still call them my babies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're
always babies. They're always babies.
And we had the privilege of writing together
Lies
Young Women
Believe.
Mm-hmm. And what a journey that's been. I've learned so much from you and your heart for teens. And by the way, what's so neat about this gathering is that the Lord used you when Erin was a teenager.
That's right. Dana was my mentor when I was 15.
Yes. Wow. And now you're mentoring other young women, and we just see this whole thing of the beauty of true womanhood mm-hmm. and legacy. Now, I'm not married. I've never had children, but all you ladies are moms. And can you remember when you had that first child? Did you all want to know whether it was a boy or a girl? Did you find out?
There was no option when I had my kids.
When Mary and I had our first kids, probably.
Okay, you're
you
dating
didn't
yourself.
Have the
They're
option.
Dating themselves.
Yeah, we are
back
dating
the day before
back in the day when I was young. So the first half of my children, I didn't know what was coming.
They never even did ultrasounds.
No, but the second half of my children, technology had caught up. So the first 4 I didn't know. The last 4 I did know what I was having.
Well, and I just kind of got used to hearing, It's a boy. It's a boy.
So did you
it's
find?
A boy.
Did you find out before your
I
first?
I did not want to know. Okay. I love anticipation.
You wanted to know sooner or later, yes. Just not sooner.
I wanted to know when that baby was in my arms, and I didn't know till then. So that was fun.
How about you, Erin?
I didn't want to know. I had to find out with my first because he had a little medical thing, and so we found out with him. We were thrilled that he was a boy, but with my second, I was determined not to find out. So we had written in our birth plan, no one can tell Erin except Jason. And there were people in the waiting room. My aunt had a blue blanket and a pink blanket because they were waiting. And then I had the baby, and my husband's eyes filled with tears, and I'll never forget him saying, it's another boy. And I was so excited. It was
Well, gender really does matter. If you're a mom, you know that whether you find out before the baby's born or the moment that the baby's born, gender really does matter.
Sure.
But we live in a culture that is promoting the message in many respects that gender doesn't matter or that genders are interchangeable.
Yeah, well, there's a case in point in Canada where there was a mom who had a baby and decided that she was not going to let anyone know the gender of the child.
I've heard about this. It's been big news.
It was huge news. And it was in Toronto, and the baby was named Storm. So given, and it's called
a girl.
Gender storm, right? Because it just wasn't announced whether this child was a boy or girl, and they weren't going to let anyone know whether this child was a boy or girl, and then they were going to allow the child to choose its own gender, and it's upheld as an ideal, you know, that this is a better way to raise children in a gender-neutral, gender-free environment.
I read several interviews with that mom because I blogged about it, and the way that she talked about it was that she was giving her child a gift.
Yeah, such a wonderful
thing. And that baby whose grandparents didn't even know. Now, would that drive you nuts?
It would just mean that there would be a whole lot less people to change diapers.
That is for sure.
I would be peeking.
I guess so. But the mom talked about it as if it was such a, you know, just a wonderful gift
thing
that she was giving
that
child.
And that it was optional.
But you can see examples of this in a lot of places in the culture.
Oh, sure. I mean, gender, I've heard so much since that time about gender-neutral preschools, sending your child to a preschool where there will be no delineation between boys and girls, and they're going to take gender pronouns out. They're going to make sure that the children play with gender-neutral toys, and that when they interact with each other, and perhaps I'm not exactly sure how they function, but my guess is that the parents that send them there will send them there with the understanding that they're not to identify the gender of that child in any way, so that the children can identify with each other just kind of as humans and not through the lens
of
gender.
And we think that we have sexual gender confusion now.
Oh,
wait for 10 years till that to kick in. You know, I think of Katy Perry, who made popular the song I Kissed a Girl.
And I liked it.
And I liked it. Yeah. I kissed a girl and I liked it. And here's what's heartbreaking about that for me, because it's easy to make this an us and them issue, but it's not. Because Katy Perry grew up in a Christian home. I have ministered to the teachers in her Christian middle school that were just heartbroken by the fact that the truth didn't seep into her. It was available to her, but it didn't seep into her.
Yet.
And yet.
Story's not over.
That's
right,
true.
Yeah.
The hope of the gospel. But, you know, this erasing gender is creating this sexual confusion.
And you use the word confusion, Dana. I think that's so apparent. A friend of ours was telling us recently that she had to fill out an application for a position, and on the question of what gender are you, you know, it's usually male or female. I mean, those are the only two I know about. There were 7 options, male, female, and 5 others. And I was so confused, I had to ask Mary, what are these referring to?
What are those options?
Yeah.
So there probably was an option of none, or
it's
not applicable.
Or it's complicated.
It's complicated, right?
As if, you know, that's sort of like,
as if
it's complicated.
Non-important question, and
well,
I can decide.
Exactly. A lady told me just a few weeks ago that she had gone to give blood at the Red Cross. And as part of the intake interview, they went through their standard questionnaire. And one of the questions, and it just floored her, one of the questions was, are you the same gender that you were at birth?
Wow.
And you know,
from the Red Cross.
From the Red Cross.
Wow.
For giving blood.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's the thing of, does gender matter? And then can you change genders?
Sure.
Yeah.
Even, you know, average people on the street, you can talk to a lot of people and find that there's a prevailing view that gender really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. In fact, we sent a team out at a True Woman event onto the sidewalks to ask women on the street, what is a true woman?
I would describe a true woman as a true human being, and with sex organs that are different from men. But a true woman is a true human being who, at her best, displays all the best qualities of humankind. Other than the physiological differences, a woman who puts her mind to it can do anything a man can do, I think.
You know, Nancy, that video clip just so accurately reflects what we're talking about, that there is a widespread belief, and becoming more and more common all the time, that gender doesn't matter. And we may think that it's something that's out there or something that, you know, is just in pop culture, but it translates into how we do life. It's pervasive.
It has implications for all of life.
It has implications for all of life. And we see it in terms of a gender role reversal, you know, that with dads and moms or with young women, you know, going into a relationship thinking that there's going to be a sameness about the way that they interact with the young men that they're going out with, or thinking that it really doesn't matter whether it is a young man or a young woman. And it's just leading to so much brokenness and heartache. Yeah. And it's just tragic because women aren't able to make relationships work. And it's just so incredibly difficult to do so.
And one of the things we're going to see all through this study is that God's ways are good. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful and they work. Yeah. And God's design book is the way it is. It's for our good. And those who ignore or don't know or reject God's design, whether out in pop culture or within the church, are setting themselves up for so much pain and brokenness. And that's one of the reasons we've done this study, Mary, is because one of the reasons we wrote it. We just know that if women don't get that gender really does matter and is good and is God created, then there's going to be so much pain and dysfunction and brokenness that could be averted.
Yes.
So it's
not only in their own lives, but in the lives of their families and friends, and really in the lives of their communities and really the whole next generation.
Exactly.
And I'm not sure moms understand how this is affecting their teen daughters and younger. When we talk about pop culture, it's important to note that for teenage girls, there's no difference between what they see in pop culture and their worldview most of the time. Those lines are so blurry. And,
and even kids in the youth group,
certainly,
their worldview's been more shaped
certainly
by what they see in pop culture.
Certainly. Yeah. And then it's the same is true for even younger. So a mother or an older woman may not be feeling the pain of these things we're talking about. Yeah, but it's worth fighting for.
You know, I talked with a friend the other day who has a daughter in elementary school, and there is a lesbian couple with a daughter in their class, and they want the little girl to come over and play. And so, you know, my kids 20 years ago, 15 years ago,
didn't have to face
that information.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mentor a girl who is working with college students on a campus with university athletes and with sort of top caliber athletes. And she says, depending on the team that these athletes are on, there is a very large percentage of the team, sometimes upwards of 80% of the team, that get drawn into or pressured into same-sex relationships with girls on the team, and it's a whole different culture. And so there's so much brokenness that comes through that. It's a tragedy, but this isn't something theoretical. This is not, you know, this is hitting our grade school children. Mm-hmm. You know, the moms may not feel it, but our children are being raised with this idea that there's this fluidity and that there's our sex organs and then there's our gender. And our sex organs don't dictate our gender. We get to pick our gender. We can and we can choose to be one gender one day and a few years down the road change the gender, and that if you're a good parent, you will allow your child to choose his or her own gender.
Yeah, if you're not aware of it, if you just start looking around and noticing what the culture is saying, there's this widespread belief that gender really doesn't matter, that there are not significant differences between male and female, or that they're interchangeable, or that they're fluid. It's various variations on gender confusion. But that's, again, where we go back to God's word.
And we have to.
Which is what we try to do through the study on this and every other area of life. And we realize in Scripture it's so clear that God created male and female for a specific purpose.
Yeah.
He designed them differently. The lines are not blurry. And I love that passage in Isaiah chapter 43, I think it is, that says that God created sons and daughters for His glory.
Yes.
For His glory. So I want to just park there for a minute as we start this study and say, okay, everything in life is about glorifying God, including our womanhood or manhood, gender. What does it mean? We kind of throw that term around a lot.
I think it means that we illuminate Him. Mm-hmm. We make Him visible. He can be seen in us. He can be seen through us. I think that's what it means to glorify.
Well, that we understand that the purpose of our existence is wrapped up in making God more known than he would have been apart from our life.
Putting him on display.
Glorifying him.
Like displaying, shining the spotlight, taking the spotlight and going, wow.
Let me read this from Genesis 1. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness.'" And verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them."
No confusion in God's mind.
No,
is there
he's sure about it.
He's pretty clear
he's saying,
what he's doing.
He's saying, "You are in my image." And you know what? I was reading this years ago, and I thought to myself, there's so much about humanity that's amazing that God could have pointed to in this passage. Why didn't he comment on our language proficiency or our ability to compose sonnets or our creativity or the fact that one day we would make an airplane fly? You know, he doesn't take any of those magnificent things. One thing only, male and female. I think it is through gender that we glorify God best because that's what's in his image.
And the interesting thing is that we're totally not responsible for being male or female. At that moment of creation,
God makes us
it
that.
It is God's.
If we didn't have any choice in that, nor did our parents.
No.
It's nothing that we did at that point.
Yeah, I love, I mean, I love that verse, Dana, because it's fascinating.
Yeah.
I mean, you go back and you said, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image after our likeness.'" Okay, well, who's the our and the us and the, there's a lot of plurality going on there in the language. Who's God talking to?
I mean, himself.
Himself. Mm-hmm. God the Father, God the Son,
all in
God
one.
The Holy Spirit.
Right.
And three in one.
And so there's something about male and female that teaches us about the us of God.
You know what I think it is? I think it's this. God in three persons is a social being.
Relational.
He is relational. And without the distinct differences of the Trinity, there's no reason for socialness because it would just
be
one.
There's no reason for Trinity if they were to all be the same.
But male and female in their distinct differences crave to know and be known and be social too. And so it is our gender that makes us social beings like God.
And the two parts of that gender that God set up, that he designed, display who he is better than either one could separately.
That's a cool thought. You know, that there are aspects of God's image that men, males can reflect in stronger ways than and ways that females, that we as women display God's image. And you put them together, male and female, and in the then ultimately in marriage, in husband and wife, and you get together in that oneness a beautiful reflection of who God
is. That's why studying gender through the filter of God's word is so exciting, because I feel like when women hear that we're going to study gender, they worry that they're going to find out we're inferior. And the opposite is true. God's word says, "Women, you put me on display. Give me glory in a way that men don't." And the opposite is true. So it's really empowering, exciting to see that God says, "Hey, lady, your purpose is to glorify me, to reveal something about me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I love the picture that we chose mm-hmm. for the front of the True Woman 101 study. And throughout the study, there's this theme of artistry
mm-hmm.
and this theme of painting and design and beauty and
craftsmanship.
And all the colors that we chose for the inside are rich and mm-hmm. bold and up close, and yeah. all the photos are very textured. And I just think of the thought of putting God on display. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're painting a picture yeah. and right. putting it up on an yeah. easel. And we all know that pictures aren't the real thing. Right. You know, if I paint a picture of a beautiful vase and a flower, you know that that's not the vase and the flower you're looking at. Mm-hmm. The picture represents yeah. the real
right.
thing.
Right.
It puts it on display. And I think that's when we're
gender.
Talking about the glory of God.
Yes.
When we glorify God, it's like with our lives, we take that easel and we, mm. our lives are that painting that show truths about
yeah.
God.
You're getting me excited.
I'm excited about it too.
Because I think of, as male and female being a picture, I think of the Mona Lisa. Mm. It was her smile mm. that made her mysterious. Mm. And for 500 years, art history majors and all of humanity has been studying her because there's a mystery in her that we don't quite understand when we look at this painting. Well, I don't know if you know this, but in 1911, Mona Lisa was stolen.
Poor Mona.
I wasn't alive then. I don't know.
I don't know. But
you
know,
I didn't do it.
Good to know.
So the captain of the guard comes around the corner where she was once hanging on these four posts, and she's gone. And he thinks to himself, he reasons to himself, she's been taken out to be photographed for marketing purposes. Mm-hmm. So the men entrusted to the portrait, the most valuable portrait on the planet, do nothing. Mm. That's
Whoops.
Us.
Wow.
That's
Oops.
Us, church.
Yeah.
That's us right now.
Mm. Yeah.
The picture of God mm. is gender.
Mm.
And in large part, the body of Christ does nothing.
Well, let's sound the alarm,
right?
Yeah.
We're a little numb mm. to the depth of it, to the breadth of what is happening in our
or
culture.
Or the seriousness of it.
Right.
Like we just think, oh, well,
or the
whatever.
Pain.
Or the pain of
pain.
It, the brokenness.
So and maybe also
people.
Numb, those of us who've been, I've been in church since 9 months before I was born. And we've heard the story, the gospel, mm. the mystery of Christ. And his church, Ephesians 5, talks about mm. husbands and wives
yes.
and marriage. And then Paul says, this is a mystery. Mm. I'm speaking about Christ and his church. I mean, we've just read that so many times, heard that, done that, been there. We've lost the wonder.
Mm. It's like the yeah. smile mm. of gender, the mystery, the smile of it. The what is it about that when we look at male and female? We've forgotten that it's about Jesus and it's about the gospel.
That's Mary Cassian along with Nancy Lee DeMoss. They've written a new book called True Woman 101, Divine Design. They were talking about some concepts in that book with their friends Dana Gresh, Aaron Davis, and Holly Eliff. Imagine having your own small group discussions like this one. Imagine getting together with a group of ladies and talking about God's purpose in creating you as a woman and what that means for you practically. This new book, True Woman 101, Divine Design, would be perfect for your own small group discussion. To enrich your small group meeting, parts of the conversation we just heard are available on DVD. So you can study biblical womanhood together using the book True Woman 101, then watch Mary, Nancy, and their friends discuss the material on DVD. Then have your own practical discussion. You can order True Woman 101, the book and the DVD, at our website, reviveourhearts.com, or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, on Monday, Nancy, Mary, and the rest of their friends will pick back up on the conversation they began today. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.